Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 37 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Keneally Roberts.
And I'm Shamari Mosley.
Most people don't realize this, but that corner here in Moorhead is the most famous corner in Eastern Kentucky.
A building in downtown Moorhead has been recognized by a state program.
Brady industry officials are making allegations against the former CEO.
Health officials in Lexington say another person has died from the flu.
The Kentucky House has voted to legalize medical marijuana.
The Senate is considering a bill focused on the governor's pardoning powers.
In sports, Rowan County girls basketball team plays their last regular season game tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 11 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A building in downtown Moorhead has been recognized by the Kentucky Main Street Program. The Cozy Building, along with owners Dan and Jennifer Markwell and Ryan and Debbie Neff, were recognized for the best adaptive reuse. Tony Pence is the director of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated. He says the renovation that took place at the Cozy Building has done a lot for Moorhead.
Not only is the Sawstone Brewery there, but there's some upscale living here, too, that was added to downtown. Four apartments are part of this project as well, and they exist in the old movie theater side. And then, of course, you know, downtown Moorhead, we did the Oktoberfest with the brewing fellas. We were very successful event. We've got a whole slate of events coming up this spring and summer where we're going to do the same thing.
The award was presented during the Kentucky Main Street Program's annual award ceremony on February 12th.
A legal filing by Brady Industries says its former chairman and CEO was misusing company funds, and that Craig Bouchard's social media post showing his travel back up the concerns raised by the company's chief financial officer. Bouchard was replaced in both of his roles within the company earlier this month. He rejected the ouster by filing an injunction to remove the people on the board who let him go. The filing claims several red flags concerning Bouchard's use of funds, including personal expenses charged by Bouchard to the company's credit cards. More than $330,000 in unsubstantiated mail and travel charges. The filing also alleges unauthorized charges associated with chartered private planes, which are all in violation of the company's travel policies. Bouchard took to social media Friday morning to dispute the allegations. Altogether, the company still needs to raise nearly $435 million to build the mill in Boyd and Greenup counties.
All hospital-based patient care at Our Lady of Belfont Hospital will end in April. According to a release from Bon Secours, the company that owns OLBH, that hospital-based patient care includes emergency services and acute care at the hospital. Those services will end April 30th. The company says EMS will be notified that no patients will be accepted after that date. In a statement, the company says more than 20 job fairs have been hosted on the hospital campus and through the region since the closure announcement, and many staff members have accepted other employment. Officials with the hospital tell WSAZ the continued availability of staff factored into the decision of an April 30th close date. Officials say patients will be able to access medical records at the hospital beyond April 30th. The company originally stated it would be, quote, exiting acute and outpatient care in the Ashland and Tri-State communities by the end of September 2020, resulting in the closure of Our Lady of Belfont Hospital, system-owned care sites, and its physician network, Belfont Physician Services.
Health officials in Lexington confirmed Friday morning that the city recorded its fourth flu-related death of the season. Officials said the victim was a person in their 30s with underlying health issues. Two of the previous victims were described as older than 50, also with underlying health issues, and one was a child younger than 12 months old. According to LEX 18, medical privacy laws prevent further identification of victims. Kevin Hall, spokesman for the Lexington Fayette County Health Department, stressed the importance of getting a flu shot, especially for vulnerable populations such as children, the elderly, or people with medical conditions.
After an animal attack in Knott County Tuesday, naturalists are sharing helpful advice on how to avoid dangerous animal confrontations. Animal attacks may be rare, but being educated about safety in any situation is important. Craig Caudill is the owner of the Nature Reliant School in Winchester. He tells WKYT the school educates the public on the outdoors and how to stay safe.
We're going to back up. If we see something as a predator animal or something that could bring harm to us, the big thing to do is just simply back away. And when I say back away, don't run. Don't turn your back to an animal.
Be careful about the things that you have around your home, any type of potential food source for a wild animal.
Caudill also says that animal attacks in Kentucky are rare and that the fear of being attacked should not deter the public from spending time in the outdoors.
The Kentucky House voted to legalize medical marijuana in the state. WKYT reports the measure won House passage on a 65-30 vote after a long debate yesterday. The vote sends the proposal to the state Senate. The House vote comes after years of setbacks for medical marijuana advocates in Kentucky. The measure would allow doctors to prescribe cannabis and set up a regulatory framework for patients to obtain it at approved dispensaries. Representative Jason Nims called the bill the tightest medical marijuana bill in the country.
We worked on this bill a long time. We've met with stakeholders from law enforcement, stakeholders, constituents, regular folks, patients, physicians, chiropractors, I mean, you name it, we've been there.
It is the first time a medical marijuana bill has been taken up by the full House. Smoking medical cannabis would not be permitted under the bill. Consumption could take place through such forms as pills and oils. The bill also restricts all public use.
A top priority of House Majority Leaders to reform how the state provides public assistance to its citizens passed out of committee Thursday and now advances to the full chamber. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
House Bill 1, sponsored by House Speaker David Osborne and Speaker Pro Tem David Meade, was approved by the House Health and Family Services Committee and now returns to the full House for further consideration. Key provisions of HB 1, among others, involve changes to cash assistance programs and eligibility for expanded Medicaid. Each cash assistance beneficiary would be placed on a single electronic benefit transfer or EBT card, with exceptions made for foster care, kinship care, and similar program payments. Another provision in the bill could require expanded Medicaid beneficiaries who have been part of the state's expanded Medicaid program for at least 1 year to work at least 80 hours a month in order to continue to qualify for Medicaid benefits. The work requirement for expanded Medicaid, part of a community engagement program that would be implemented by the state under HB 1, would kick in should the percentage of the state general fund Medicaid budget needed to provide the state match for Kentucky's expanded Medicaid population reach 50%. Among those voting against the bill in committee was Representative George Brown Jr., who said many Kentuckians should be banned from benefits for life under HB 1. HB 1 includes several recommendations from the 2019 Public Assistance Reform Task Force, which met several months before issuing the recommendations late last year. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
A bill aimed at putting the governor's pardoning powers in the hands of the Kentucky voters is on to the full Senate. SB 58 would set up an amendment to the Constitution allowing voters to decide whether to change the governor's pardon abilities. The move comes after former Governor Bevin's pardon and commuted hundreds of controversial sentences. Chloe Randall is a rape victim and spoke in favor of the bill.
We need to work together to bring more of those bad people to justice and to ensure that the ones that are in prison stay where they belong. There's too many sexual predator destroying lives out there already to allow the ones that are already in prison to be pardoned.
Opponents of the bill say it would make it harder for nonviolent offenders to get pardoned. It passed through a committee and now heads to the full Senate.
A proposed amendment to the Kentucky Constitution would bar the state from ensuring the right to an abortion in the event the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision is overturned. WUKY's Josh James has more.
To protect human life, nothing in this Constitution shall be construed to secure or protect a right to abortion or require the funding of abortion. That statement would be added to the Kentucky Constitution under House Bill 67 if approved by voters at the ballot box. The bill, which currently has 35 sponsors in the Republican-controlled House, cleared a committee after only brief discussion Thursday. Democratic Representative Lisa Wilner told colleagues she was embarrassed by the measure's speedy approval.
I think that this bill is emblematic of the way we treat women and saying you don't have the authority to make decisions about your own body.
HB 67 lead sponsor Joseph Fisher has tried in previous sessions to pass the amendment. This is the first time it has made it through committee. In Frankfurt, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, presenting the Tedeschi Trucks Band in concert 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th. Award-winning vocalist Susan Tedeschi and husband Derek Trucks, a 15-year veteran of the Allman Brothers Band. Grammy Award winners, the Tedeschi Trucks Band, on tour supporting their latest release, Signs. The Tedeschi Trucks Band at the Mountain Arts Center, 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th. Tickets and information online at macarts.com.
The coroner has released the name of a Lexington homicide victim. Lexington police said a family member found 35-year-old Crystal Howard of Lexington dead late Thursday. Her body was in a residence along Shaftesbury Road on the city's northeast side. Howard's death has been ruled a homicide. Officials said they were talking to several people about the case, but did not describe them as suspects or witnesses.
The ex-boyfriend of Sheena Baxter, who has been missing for a week, has been arrested on unrelated charges. Joseph Hicks was booked into the Scott County Detention Center Friday morning. He's charged with falsely reporting an incident, tampering with physical evidence, and criminal mischief. Georgetown police say Hicks made up a story about being shot during an attempted robbery at the Georgetown Walmart on the night of Baxter's disappearance. Investigators said they were able to determine Hicks was inside a semi-truck at Phoenix Trucking before the alleged shooting. According to WKYT, a tip in the Baxter case led police to Phoenix Trucking Thursday evening. Baxter's sister, Krista Crumley, told WKYT Hicks is Baxter's ex-boyfriend. According to court records, protection orders were filed for Baxter against Hicks on two separate occasions in 2018. Hicks has not been charged in connection with Baxter's disappearance.
Parts of Martin County have been dealing with street signs being stolen, causing big problems for city leaders in Inez. WYMT reports the signs cost about $30 apiece. Stealing 10 signs cost the district $350, which is not accounted for in the budget. The Martin County Constable says perpetrators will be arrested and charged. Officials want to remind the community that the signs are not meant to be collector's items. Missing or improperly placed signs may confuse first responders, which could lead to unintended delays and dangerous situations when faced with an emergency.
Firefighters responded to the scene of a massive house fire in rural Jessamine County. WKYT reports it happened yesterday afternoon at a home on Route 1267 in the Colonial Estates area. Several people reported that smoke from the fire could be seen for miles. When crews arrived, flames were coming out of the back and roof of the house. Officials say the wind made it difficult to get under control. The home is considered a complete loss. The family who lives there is reportedly on a ski trip. The cause of the fire is under investigation, but fire officials say it doesn't look suspicious. No injuries have been reported.
A golden alert has been issued for a Whitley County teen with a serious medical condition. The Whitley County Sheriff's Office tells WYMT that 18-year-old Perry Reed of Williamsburg went missing Tuesday. They say he requires daily medication for a cardiac condition. He may be headed to the Somerset area. He is 5'5" with brown hair and hazel eyes, a scar on his chest, multiple tattoos, and weighs around 124 pounds. Anyone with information on his whereabouts is encouraged to call Whitley County 911 at 606-549-6017. Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area, tonight clear with a low around 11, Saturday sunny with a high near 50, Saturday night clear with a low around 27, Sunday sunny with a high near 52, Sunday night a 30% chance of rain mainly after 3 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 37. Monday, 90% chance of rain with a low around 43. Tuesday, 60% chance of rain, mainly before 8 a.m.
On our feature segment today, 10 vexing questions are on the mind of commentator Dr. John Modaff.
Parents and teachers know how it is. Every now and then a young one comes along that thinks you really know something, and so they ask a deep question, too deep to answer, but still deserving of a response. Best way to prepare for such a moment is to practice. So here is a list of difficult questions that have come up over the years in classes and outside of them. 1. Are happy people healthier or are healthy people happier? 2. If students fear public speaking worse than death, why do they keep giving speeches? 3. Why is it that most people have no trouble talking, but so many have so much trouble writing, particularly after 12 years of literacy education? 4. If beans cause flatulence and flatulence causes global warming, ought we not outlaw beans? 5. Who the heck cares about history? That's yesterday. What can we do about yesterday? 6. Why is it that graduate school requires so much reading? 7. Are you aware that you've been standing on a slight angle? 8. Does spelling count? 9. Can I borrow your stapler? And from a student course evaluation, why is your forehead so big? Now, a sensible person would recognize many of these questions as unanswerable, possibly even plants devised by sadists who love to see their elders squirm. Still, there is a phenomenon Cialdini calls captainitis, and one of its symptoms is a circular argument that goes like this. You're an expert, experts know stuff, so experts can answer question. Well, here's a question, go for it. And you do. You keep a standard response handy up your left sleeve, but do venture to address some of them directly. Yes, healthy people are happier, but one of the ways they got healthy was to be happy. The answer to any chicken or egg question is both. As for public speaking, the surveys that people keep quoting about public speaking being feared more than death are often misreported to leave out the important words, feared more often than death. When people were asked to rank their top fear, death won most of the time, as one would expect. I've noticed students never take up my offer to be executed rather than give a speech. Graduate school requires so much reading because somebody has to read all of those journal articles that no one would otherwise read. As for history, Henry Ford said it was bunk. But come to think, Henry Ford is history. The answer to the spelling and stapler question is always yes. As for the others, including the forehead question, the standby comes out and you say, expressing sincere interest to the highest level of sincerity. Is that not a fabulous question? What do you think? I'm John Modaff.
It's 4:48 and 37 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Keneally Roberts, here with Shamari Mosley and Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely Friday afternoon. Leanne Akers has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
The Rowan County girls basketball team will play their final game of the regular season tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Vikings will try for their 10th win in a row tonight when they welcome Boyd County. The 16-10 Lady Lions are coming off a win over Russell earlier this week. Rowan head coach Matt Stokes says Boyd may catch his team in size.
They're very athletic and quick. They don't have a really true post player, you know, center like a lot of teams we play do. But they can shoot. All of them can shoot the ball. So it'll be an interesting game to kind of see where we're at still with the season winding down and districts and regions cranking up.
Tip off tonight in Morehead is set for 7:30 p.m. Taking a look at other girls' action tonight in the 16th region, Elliott County travels to Fairview for a 6 p.m. matchup. East Carter hosts Bath County, Menifee travels to Shelby Valley, and Morgan County hosts Jackson City. All three of those games are set for 7:30. Then on Saturday, West Carter welcomes Boyd County at 4 p.m. In boys' regional action this weekend, Fleming County travels to Greenup tonight. Boyd County heads to George Rogers Clark. West Carter welcomes Tulsea out of Fort Gay, West Virginia. Russell heads to Belfry. Menifee travels to Fairview. Greenup hosts Fleming. And Rose Hill Christian heads to Hannon over in Ashton, West Virginia. All of tonight's boys' games tip off at 7:30. For the first time in the young season, Morehead State Baseball faces a true road test, traveling to the Chesapeake Bay for a three-game set with Norfolk State. The Eagles enter seeking their first win of the new campaign following a season opening series with Michigan State, while the Spartans enter with a split record. Head coach Mick Aoki says his team will likely see some familiar styles over the weekend.
I think we'll face a team that tries to do similar things, right? I mean, they try to put some pressure on you on the bases, but, you know, trying to steal bases and doing different things. They lost one of their really, really big sort of prolific base stealers, but, you know, they attempted 160 steals or something last year. So they try to put some pressure on you there. I don't think that we'll see quite the arm strength out of their guys that we saw out of the Michigan State team.
The Eagles are scheduled for a doubleheader at noon and 4 tomorrow. They'll play at noon again on Sunday. The Morehead State University softball team is headed to the Spartan Pirate Classic in Norfolk, Virginia this weekend. The Eagles will two games on both Saturday and Sunday. Head coach Samantha Jones says heading into the game that most of the team is feeling pretty well, but there are a couple of players out for the season.
Blake and Largen, one of our lefty pitchers, is out. She had shoulder surgery. And then Kenzie Silcox, who is a freshman, she retore her ACL or MCL and then one of her knees. So those two, Blake and Kenzie, are out for the season. But after that, I mean, everyone else is doing well. A couple of banging bruises, but nothing to stop them from playing.
MSU first plays Howard at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, followed by Norfolk State at 2 p.m. The Morehead State University basketball teams are gearing up for their final home game of the regular season tomorrow. The women's team will be first up to square off against Tennessee State. Head coach Greg Todd says the Eagles had success against the Tigers earlier in the season, but that doesn't mean his squad will be taking them lightly.
They have been playing much better. They beat Murray State a couple weeks ago for their only conference win, but it was in Nashville. They play Belmont pretty competitively, so nothing's easy in conference games, and we'll have to be ready, but we definitely have pretty good matchups against Tennessee State.
The MSU women's basketball team will tip off at 1 p.m. tomorrow. The Morehead State University men's basketball team is preparing for their matchup with Tennessee State as well. The Eagles fell in their matchup with the Tigers earlier in the season. Head coach Preston Spradlin says to come out on top, his team needs to maintain the style of play that has brought them success.
And so we got in a bit of a one-on-one battle with them down there at their place, and that's just not our game. And as I mentioned, with their length, athleticism, and their talent, that wasn't a good approach for our players. And so getting back to playing a little more team-oriented basketball and playing with each other and sharing that ball, moving it side to side to create easy shots for each other to kind of negate some of their length, athleticism, and their talent is going to be a big key for us.
Tip-off for the men tomorrow afternoon is set for 3 o'clock. The 10th-ranked University of Kentucky basketball team will be back at home tomorrow evening. The Wildcats are coming off a 79-76 win over LSU this week. Tomorrow, they'll face off with Florida. Head coach John Calipari tells UK Athletics that while his team sits at 21-5 on the season, there are still some frustrating kinks with the team he's trying to work out.
We're still forcing things, playing too fast at times, not knowing if it's 1-on-3. The numbers probably say I shouldn't go at the rim here. What do we still do? Oh, we still go right at the rim. We're still there. There's got to come a point where we're not making those judgments.
Tip-off tomorrow night in Lexington is set for 6 o'clock. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Ashland Blazer boys basketball team wrapped up their regular season with a perfect record. An exciting week for the team. Their record was first saved with a buzzer beater against West Carter on Tuesday, followed by a 72-40 win over Rose Hill Christian last night. Head coach Jason Mays tells WSAZ what the season has been like for the town and the team.
No one predicted that we would do this. This community deserved this. Our players recognize that. I just told the team that one day they're going to get a phone call from one of their teammates. They're going to be in their 40s or 50s. They're going to have kids of their own. And they're automatically going to go back to this season and this team and the relationships that have been formed. Because our togetherness is why this has happened.
Ashland Blazer will play their first district tournament game on Monday. They'll face off with Rose Hill Christian again at 7:30 at Boyd County Middle School. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball host Tennessee State tomorrow afternoon. The women's game begins at 1 and the men tip off at 3. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell sharply after the number of new coronavirus cases escalated, fueling worries over a pronounced global economic slowdown, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 227.57, 28,992.41. The S&P 500 was down 35.48 at 3,337.75, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 174.38 at 9,576.59. Friday's losses put the major averages on pace for their first weekly losses in 3 weeks. The NASDAQ is down almost 2% for the week. The Dow and S&P 500 are both down at least 1.5% for the week. The Dow also had its worst daily performance since February 7th today, while the S&P 500 posted its biggest one-day loss since January 31st, and the NASDAQ had its worst session since January 27th. Microsoft and Nike fell more than 2% each to lead the Dow lower. The S&P 500 was pressured by a 2.6% drop in the tech sector. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google parent Alphabet, and Apple all traded at least 1.7% lower to drag the NASDAQ down. In turn, money poured into U.S. bonds, pushing the 30-year rate to an all-time low. Deere shares popped more than 7% on quarterly earnings that beat analyst expectations, and Dropbox soared more than 21% after it posted a profit that topped earnings estimates. And in the commodities markets, oil backed down 1% today to finish at $53.35 a barrel. Gold was up 1.625% at $1,646.40 an ounce. In Europe, the stock 600 index was down 0.5%, reflecting overall global weakness. And in Asia, most markets were down as well, with Nikkei down 0.4%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.1%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 20 cents at 43.21, Kroger up 53 cents at 30.31, CSX down 89 cents at 79.56, Marathon Petroleum down $1.14 at 59.12, and PPL Energy was up 22 cents to finish at 35.63. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Once again, weather for tonight is clear with a low around 11. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Leanne Akers, Lori Likens, Cody Robinson, Chaz Jenkins, WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Shamari Mosley and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Keneally Roberts for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.